Turn our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 29. The three men on the platform thought they would announce the passage before I came. Thought we'd have a scripture reading from 1 John. That'll be the next time. This morning I want to look at Proverbs chapter 29. In verse 18, where God's word says, where there's no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Where there's no vision, the people perish. But he that keeps the law, or he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Let's pray before we continue this morning. Our Father, we thank you for your word. And we pray that in this time, as we gather to hear your word preached, that you would be honored, that you would be glorified, that your word would be magnified, and that your son would be magnified. We pray that this would be done by myself as I preach, and by each of us as we hear your word. Help us to give it the place that it deserves and that you demand for it in our lives. Help us to yield ourselves to what it says, and not place our own thoughts above your word. We pray that all that is done in this hour would please you and honor you and would help us to advance the work that you have given to us to do while we're here on this earth. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This verse, Proverbs 29, verse 18, says, where there's no vision, the people perish. But he that keeps the law, happy is he. I'm going to concentrate primarily on the first phrase of that. The second phrase is, or the second line, is a parallel to the first line. If you're going to study Proverbs, Psalms, many, many other portions of the Scripture, we should understand how the Hebrews used poetry. And almost all the places in their poetry, there's some type of parallelism. There's either a synonymous parallelism, or there might even be, I'm going to make up this word, opposing parallelism, and say something's good and the other thing's bad. But either way, there's always a lot of parallelism in Hebrew poetry, and we have some parallelism here. So, this verse talks about people who are dying. It talks about people who are dying, right? We see that in the word perish. Where there's no vision, the people perish. All around us, people are dying. They're perishing, as the word is used here. And this verse tells us that the reason they're perishing is that there's no vision. Where there's no vision, the people perish. Most of the time, when people die, they become sick before they die, don't they? Some people die suddenly, drastically. But most of the time, when human beings die, most of us, when it comes time for us to die, our health will deteriorate, we will get sick, we will get even more sick, and then we will give up the ghost, and we will die. Some people, and it's kind of the implication that we get in this verse, some people die unnecessarily, don't they? In fact, in history, we can see many times when people died, if they knew what we know today, they would not have died. They died unnecessarily because they got sick and they were treated with something that wasn't what they needed. in our history, in our nation's history, at least it's popularly understood that our first president, George Washington, got sick. And at that time in history, people thought that if you took blood out of something, that the blood contained the things that were making people sick. And maybe it did, but if you took their blood from them, you'd be taking that illness out of them. And actually, the Bible tells us that the life of the flesh is in the blood. So they would take blood out of people, and that would make them even weaker, and many times people died because they were receiving the wrong treatment. Sometimes people have had an accident, and they cut themselves, and they don't treat it correctly. The flesh closes over it, and they think things are okay. And then after a while, all of a sudden, they're very sick, and there's because that place where they were injured is infected, and that infection has spread into their whole body, and they may even die. They may even perish because they didn't take care of it the proper way in the beginning. I guess the point I'm trying to make is that people die physically. People don't always die for good reason. A good reason to die is because your body stops working and it's time to die. A bad reason to die is that you have some type of an accident and you don't treat it well. You don't take care of yourself and you die from negligence. This verse tells us people are dying through negligence. Where there's no vision, the people perish. Obviously, we get the idea that this is a spiritual teaching. It's a spiritual principle. And the point I want to make is that in our lives, in our spiritual lives, we could be dying. Couldn't we? You could have just a little thing. You think it's just a little thing that you're not going to take care of. It's just a little thing that you're not going to correct. And you think it's going to stay over there and be a little thing and just go away. And it very well may seem to be little for a real long time, and then all of a sudden, you wake up. Your parents wake up. Your pastors wake up. And that sin has just showed itself in so many areas of your life. You are as good as dead spiritually. The verse tells us that that happens. People die where there's no vision. When we're sick, if we're sick, we go to the doctor, he looks at us. We want him, we expect him to address the areas that are a problem to us, right? We don't expect him to address the healthy areas. We're feeling bad, we know we're sick, we go to the doctor and he says, well, you're looking pretty good. You say, well, what about, well, this area over here, you're just fine. I'm not worried about where I'm just fine. I want to know what's wrong with me. I want to know how to take care of this problem. Sometimes people, even doctors, but more so people who are teachers and preachers and pastors, sometimes they just address what we might call cosmetic problems. Jeremiah chapter 6, I'm there, so don't worry about it. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 14 says, they have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people. Does anybody know the next word? Slightly. Slightly. So I get a cut, I put a Band-Aid on it, and I think that's it. I've healed it slightly. It closes up, and what happens later on? The infection, it's not cleaned out, the infection gets in there, and things are worse than they would have been if it had just been taken care of. We don't want, really. Sometimes we would rather not go through the pain of all that cleaning the gravel out of that, whatever it is, that's into our skin. But we're going to be a lot better off. We don't want a cosmetic fix. We don't want just a light fix. We don't want the preacher to say peace and safety or peace, peace, when there is no peace. We want real treatment. And we need the treatment where we have the problem. If it's not treated, it could kill us. So the question is, where are we dying? That's my question this morning. Where are we dying? And I don't know if I have time to get to the answer to that. But this verse helps us with this. First of all, let's look at the word vision. Because when there's no vision, people are dying, right? Where there's no vision, the people perish. If there's no vision, people are dying. So what is the word? What is vision? Turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis 15, verse 1. God's word says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." In that verse, what came in the vision? What came in the vision? The word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12 and verse 6. And he said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision." And what will God do with that prophet in his vision? "And will speak unto him in a dream." So what is God going to do for, to the prophet in a vision? He's going to speak. What do we speak? Words. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days." Now, why do you think the word of the Lord was precious in those days? Think about that time. Before you answer, think about that time. Who was the priest? Eli. Who were the priest's sons? Hophni and Phinehas. Remember them? Stalwart men of the faith, weren't they? What were the people doing at the tabernacle? What were the women of Israel doing at the tabernacle with Hophni and Phinehas at this time? Okay? So, the word of the Lord was precious in those days. What do you think that word precious means? Does it mean people held it lovingly, longingly? Could we say the word of the Lord was rare in those days? Would that fit? Absolutely. It wasn't around much. What does the next verse or the next sentence or phrase say? There was no open vision. What does that mean? People weren't seeing things? No. People were not hearing God's word. Right? The word of the Lord was rare. It was precious. There was no open vision. Saying basically the same thing there. In chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Samuel 3, 15. "And Samuel," make sure I'm in the, yes, "and Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision." Now, he uses the word show with vision. But what was the vision that Samuel had gotten? It was words. God had come and told him what he was going to do to the house of Eli. Right? It was words. 2 Samuel 7. 2 Samuel 7. verse 17. According to all these words, and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. We get the same idea there. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. Second Chronicles chapter 15, verse 3. Now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. What do you think was happening there? Think they were perishing? Absolutely. Why? No true God, no teaching priest, no law. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 32. Now the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and his goodness, behold, they're written in the vision of Isaiah the prophet. What was the vision of Isaiah the prophet? Something that was written. We actually have it, don't we? Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. And in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. If we go over to Isaiah chapter 1, lo and behold, we will see what the vision of Isaiah is. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. So if you're holding your Bible, you're holding the vision of Isaiah. You say, you're taking a long time to say this. Yeah, I am. Because vision is right here. Vision is here. Isaiah, I have many more verses, so let me just read them. You can write the references down if you would like. Isaiah 29, verse 11. And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men did deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. So whether or not it's open or not, the word vision there is, it's a book with words in it. We bring in the specific instance, we bring it to somebody and say, I can't read it. It's closed up to me. Okay? But it still is something that can be read. The vision is something that can be read. When the Lord, Jeremiah 14, verse 14. Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spoke unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their hearts. So people can get up and say, this is the word of the Lord. This is the vision from the Lord. I've divined this. This is what God has for you. And it can be false. But either way, what is it? It's words. It claims to be God's word, because it claims to be a vision from the Lord. Jeremiah 23, 16, thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain or empty. They speak a vision of their own heart, not out of the mouth of the Lord. So they speak a vision. They speak words from their own heart, not words that came from the mouth of the Lord. Lamentations 2:9. Her gates are sunk into the ground. He has destroyed and broken her bars. Her king and her princes are among the Gentiles. The law is no more. Her prophets also find no vision from the Lord. People that get up and they want to prophesy, they have nothing to prophesy. Why? They haven't got any word from the Lord. They haven't got any vision from the Lord. Ezekiel 7:26, mischief shall come upon mischief, and rumor shall be upon rumor. Then shall they seek a vision of the prophet. But, here's the parallel, but the law shall perish from the priests and counsel from the ancients. Vision, law, God's word, same thing. Ezekiel 12, 22 through 24. Son of man, what is that proverb that you have in the land of Israel saying, the days are prolonged and every vision faileth? Tell them therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel, but say unto them, the days are at hand and the effect of every vision. So what God's, what he's saying is, what I said will come to pass, will the effect of it, it will come to pass. The effect of every vision. For there shall be no more any empty or vain vision, nor flattering divination within the house of Israel. A couple of verses later in 27. Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, the vision that he seeth is for many days to come, and he prophesieth of the times that are afar off. What he sees, the vision he sees, the prophecy, the words that, what is it? The words that he's saying, this is what God has said will be happening. They're saying, oh, don't worry about it. If it does happen, it's a long way off. But what are they talking about? They say vision. They're talking about the word of the Lord, the revelation from God. Ezekiel 13, 7. Ezekiel 13, 7. Have you not seen a vain vision, and have you not spoken a lying divination? Whereas you say, the Lord saith it, albeit I have not spoken. So he's saying, you are seeing an empty vision. You're claiming it's a vision, but God says, I have not spoken. What does God speak? Words. Amos 8:12. They shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. They're looking for God's word, and they cannot find it. That's the condition that we see in Proverbs 29, verse 18. There's no vision. They cannot find it. Amos. Obadiah 1, verse 1. The vision of Obadiah. What was the vision of Obadiah? You have it in your hand. Thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor. Nahum 1, verse 1. The burden of Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum, the Elkoshite. What is the vision of Nahum? It's in your hand. It's the word of God. Habakkuk 2, 2 through 3. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. What was that vision? It's what we read in chapter 1 of Habakkuk, that God would send the Chaldeans to judge his people. That is the vision. And Habakkuk was to write that down. Zechariah 13:4, and it shall come to pass in that day that the prophet shall be ashamed, every one of his vision, when he has prophesied. Neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive. Those prophets would be ashamed of their vision. He's not saying they'd be ashamed of their ideas of what the future should be like. He's saying they would be ashamed of what they're claiming is the word of God. The Bible, when it speaks of vision, is speaking of itself. Where there is no vision, the people perish. This verse is not telling us to have an outlook that every leader needs to forge ahead and tell people what they see the future will be like. This verse tells us that people die when they don't have the word of God. People die. The people, actually the verse says, the people perish. The people die when there's no vision, when there's no word of God. That's why the next verse says, I left it, but he that keepeth the law, in their day, what was the law? We know that. It's the word of God. He that keepeth the law, happy is he. So, just to continue here, it does say, where there is no vision, the people perish. So we should have a clear idea in our mind. We should have a clear vision of what the word vision means, right? And it's not some picture. It's the word of God. And says, where there is no vision, the people perish. So this proverb, this portion of this proverb says that whole groups of people die when there's no vision. Because it says, the people. If I said, the class, what am I referring to? The whole class, right? And the next verse says, happy he that keeps the law, happy is he. The Bible applies to us as individuals, and it applies to us as groups of people. We are in a church, right? You are in a family. That's a group of people. Whatever. You're in a nation. You're a part of a nation. That is a group of people. Does God deal with nations? Yes. Does he deal with churches? Yes. Does he deal with individuals? Yes. Does he deal with families? Yes. All of those. He doesn't just deal with individuals inside of families or individuals inside of churches. He doesn't just deal with individuals inside of cultures and churches and countries. He deals with groups of people. And this verse says, where there is no vision, the people, that's a generic term, that's a corporate term, the people perish. Now, if people are dying, we would rather them not die. Right? If they stop dying and they come back to life, what is that called? Revival, right? Revival. Now, the Bible uses the word revival in two different situations. One is when somebody's losing the breath from their body and they are revived. Okay? That's not what I want to talk about. There's about six or seven, and that's all. Six or seven other places in the Bible where the word revival speaks to a spiritual condition. And in all of those places, as far as I can tell, in all of those places, revival is done with groups of people. Ezra talks about this in chapter 9. And now for a little space, grace has been showed from the Lord our God to give us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in his holy place that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. Psalm 85:6, wilt thou not revive us again? After 2 days, Hosea 6:2, after 2 days will he revive us. In the third day will he raise us up. Hosea 14:7, they that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn. Habakkuk 3:2, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work. There's a couple places that I would say could be translated or applied to an individual. You might say it's applied to a corporate, but that's up for debate. Basically all of the places where God speaks about revival, he's speaking to people. And this verse, Proverbs 29, speaks that way too. Where there's no vision, the people are dying. You'll die if you don't have the Word of God in your life. But your family will die. Your church will die. Your country will die. All of it will die if the Word of the Lord, if the vision of God is not there. What does it mean to perish? Where there is no vision, the people perish. There are five definitions of this word, perish, and all of them are applicable. The first is that if we would just put the people there, the people are made naked. The people are made naked. We see a good example. I don't have time to go into it, but we see a good example of this in Exodus chapter 32, verse 25. Moses was up in the mountain with God, receiving the word of God. The people had gotten somewhat of the word of God. They were down at the bottom. They decided they weren't going to obey the word of God. They weren't going to abide by the covenant of God that Moses had given them. They decided that they needed gods that they could see. And they said to Aaron, we don't know what happened to this Moses. Up, make us gods that we can follow, right? We know that, the whole story. And what happened as they formed that idol and they began to worship around the idol, they made themselves naked. Okay? Now that's evil. But we wear clothes because we ought to cover ourselves. But our clothes protect us too, don't they? Could you imagine, and this is just kind of odd, but imagine trying to go through life with no clothes on. You'd get hurt. You run into something, you brush by something, and you have a bare sleeve, you have a bare arm, it scratches you. You have clothes on your arm, nothing happens. You get a little tear in there. Okay? Clothing is protection. If you don't have the Word of God, you are naked. You are unprotected. You have nothing to keep you from evil, from terrible things happening to you. Another definition is that they're lawless. Where there's no vision, the people are lawless. Now, everyone has laws. But a good picture of this is the book of Judges. Remember in Judges? Every man obeyed the law of his own heart, we might say, right? In those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. He just did what he wanted. There was no king to tell him what to do, and obviously, they didn't follow the word of the Lord. They did what was right in their own eyes. Remember how gross, how awful you feel when you're reading Judges 18, 19, 20, 21? There's just some really awful things there. That's what happens when we do what we want, when we don't have the law of God, when we don't have the word of God telling us what to do. Proverbs 12, 15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Okay? Proverbs 21, 2 says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord ponders the hearts. Another definition of the word idol, or not of the word perish there, is idle. Where there is no vision, the people are idle. They play. They act. How many of you are acting? You're acting like a good Christian. But the Word of God is not controlling your life. You're going through the right motions, but you think this is a game. And at the end of the fourth quarter, you're going to go off and do what you want to do. Your life is not ruled by the vision of God, the Word of God. Where there's no vision, the people play. The people are idle. They act. Where there's no vision, the people are scattered. The Bible tells us that Jesus is a good shepherd. And his people, his sheep, follow him. But remember, there was a time when his sheep were scattered from him? Remember in the prophets where God says the people are there, he just sees Israel scattered because they have no shepherd? What is a shepherd supposed to give his people? Vision. What kind of vision? I know where the water is. Let's go find it. No. The vision is the Word of God. I mean, if you want to say the water is the Word of God, okay. Then the shepherd leads us to the Word of God. But the shepherd gives us the Word. If we don't have a shepherd giving us the Word, the people are scattered. And when they're scattered, they're destroyed. That's the fifth definition that fits there. Where there is no vision, the people are destroyed. So, the Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Let's just replace that with our understanding of these. Where there's no word of God, the people are dying. So the question then is, where is that? Where is that? Where are people dying? Where there's no word of God? Where is it that there's no word of God? All of you might say, well, I'm okay. I have it right here in my lap. I'm just fine. But you know, by the way, I said that's not a true statement. Just because you walk around with the Bible in your hand doesn't mean you're following the vision of the Lord. Doesn't mean you're obeying the word of the Lord. Doesn't mean the word of the Lord is controlling and guiding and directing your life. So where are we dying? Where are we dying? We are dying where the Word of God doesn't rule in our life. Is there any area in our life where God kind of says, you know what? You can just do what you want right there. Whatever you want. I have no opinion at all about what you should do in that situation. There's not. Now, there's on the other side of that, God doesn't come in a vision and say, don't put mayonnaise on your sandwich today. And God doesn't come in a vision and say, I want you to go to this town in this country. This is where you will serve me. He doesn't say that. I want to be careful here. You may be led. You may have desires given to you from God, from your background, from whatever, and as you pursue those desires, God reveals through other Christians and your church that you should go to such and such town in such and such country. But God doesn't say, go to somewhere. That's what we would say is a vision in the wrong sense. So God doesn't do that, but God cares about every single thing that you do. God cares whether you wash your clothes or not. He does. He cares about how you take care of yourself. He cares about how you live in your dorm room, how you treat your roommates. He cares about everything. How can we know what he thinks about those things? Should we go to prayer and say, Lord, how should I treat my roommate? It's not a question you need to have that he needs to answer. He already did. He already did. Where there's no vision, where you say, you might say, "Well, I don't really know what to do there. I need to get some direction from the Lord." You're not going to get direction from the Lord if you're not looking here for it. This is the vision of the Lord. This is the vision that you need. Where you don't look to the Bible, where you say, "Well, everybody knows you should just do this. I don't care what everybody says. I don't care if it's the best business practice that has been invented in the last 250 years. If it's not in here, especially for your church, it's not to be followed. This, for our church, if our church doesn't follow this book, it's going to die. If our church doesn't look for new areas in our church where we're not following this book. Pastor Armacost prayed this unbeknownst to him. Lo and behold, the Holy Spirit knows what's going on. He said, we want to be looking for areas where we can grow. If we're not, if we're like, oh, that's okay, that's like having a piece of gravel under your skin that's going to kill you. Where there's no vision, we need the Word of God in every area of our life, and we're commanded to grow. We're commanded to grow. Just because we're healthy today doesn't mean we'll be healthy tomorrow. We're in a wicked world, has contamination all around us. We live and breathe contamination all around us. Here in our college, we hopefully don't have as much contamination in the sound waves that are coming toward you. Okay? But you're in a dormitory with other theologians, and we get these great ideas. Where in the world did those come from? It could be a contamination. We are people, and we have selfish attitudes. Where do those selfish attitudes come from? They don't come from the Bible. And so we are in danger of being poisoned every day. And we will die if we don't have the Word of God correcting that. We must follow God's word in every area of our life. The answer to every illness, The answer to all the ills of the world is in the Bible. The actual words of God. Not some secular ideas that seem to fit with a cute outline that I found in a certain passage. The answer to everything is in the words of the Bible. And so we need to stop. But my challenge is, you're here learning to be the servants of Christ, to be his ministers, to bring his word to people. Don't be so concerned about all the ways to get it across as much as you're concerned about making sure that it's his word that you're getting across. Don't be concerned about the fancy programs and conferences and all of that. I'm not saying those are bad, but those are a lot less important than this word. We need this. Methods and things that at once were built upon this, if this is no longer their foundation, are worthless and they'll just fall apart. And it'll kill everyone that's inside it. Because when there's no vision, where there's no word of God, the people, not individuals, the people die. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. And I pray that each person here with this short exhortation would begin or would further be convinced of its ultimate importance. Help us to, in all that we do, seek your will in your word. Help us to always study, to always be looking for things that your word tells us. Each person, regardless of how long we've been saved, Lord, we can always find something new. There's just so many areas of our lives that we just easily think doesn't apply, that we can just do whatever. Even in our churches, in our families, we think, oh, that's just what we do. But Lord, you have a way that you want these things done. And you've showed it to us in your word if we would look and study. So I pray that each person here, especially each man, would be challenged by your word that they will always preach your word. That they won't look for something fancy. That they will just try to make your word clear and plain, and then have the faith to trust your spirit to use it in the lives of those that they're preaching to. And everyone that teaches, all of us have opportunities as we teach. Help us, Lord, to depend on your word and try to make that plain and clear. For we know that that is the antidote. That is the healing ointment. Your word is what is needed where people are dying, and that is happening all around us. Please use your word in our hearts and especially in our lives. Help us not to make it just a spiritual thing or a mental thing, but something that we practice in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. That is all that we will do this morning.